We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in, Wednesday edition, Blue Sky Live here with you, Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Catch up on some football news. We've got the midway point of the SEC baseball season as Ole Miss took 2 out of 3 from Mississippi State. You definitely know that about that right now. But we'll hit some of those topics and more coming up today with you on the program. Ole Miss and Arkansas State got inclement weather out last night there in Jonesboro. Kind of a wasted trip, 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes toward Arkansas for that one. No makeup date was set, which tells me there might not be a makeup date at this point. They might simply just call it and move on. Arkansas State with an RPI that doesn't make that the dumbest thing in the world. That plays into a little bit of our discussion today as we look at where Ole Miss is, what's ahead, and what the weekend really meant, and much more coming up on the show. A show brought to you every day by all the Blue Sky locations throughout Mississippi, including the Oxford Exxon. You've got lunch specials, $5.69, a couple of sides, bread, any size fountain drink here locally. But across the state, you got all the Sweet Daddy's locations. You got the new Epicenter down in Macomb. Wherever you are in Mississippi, there's a Blue Sky close by. So head in, check it out. Gas, clean convenience stores, and much more. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get a quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. Corey and the people at Clark Ford, they want to be your car guy. They want to be your truck guy. They'll prove to you what that means when you make the call, 662-257-1900. Guest, join on the Campbell Clinic hotline. The Campbell Clinic is in Oxford now, 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102, just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow. The Campbell Clinic provides full-service orthopedic care, everything from sports medicine to foot and ankle surgery to spine and total joint care, pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to CampbellClinicOxford.com or call 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
I was asking the stream if I have seen Seth Emerson's column from The Athletic. I have not. About revenue sharing and the transfer portal, so that probably is a conversation for another day, simply because I don't have the opportunity to read and digest it as we are as we're talking here.
I've hit the mental saturation point on this. I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I'm telling people the truth, which is like someone saw my wife out somewhere and they're like, "I bet y'all talk about NIL," and she's like, "Oh, holy shit, no!"
Somebody actually said that.
I bet y'all talk about NIL, and she's like, "No."
Why would you? Hold on, whoa.
Because people,
that's nonsensical.
Because people think that. Those of us who live in
the normal person does not think this.
No.
The average person is listening to our show right now. No way they think that.
I don't know about you, but like when it comes to these topics, I've hit saturation point on them. Like, whatever, just do what you're going to do. It's like I've one thing I've learned about, like, I give On3 credit here. I really do, and I give 247 credit for this. Maybe Rivals has it. I haven't seen it. They've got people that are obviously dedicated to sitting down in front of a computer all day long. He hit the portal. He hit the portal. He hit the portal. I catch myself going, how do you keep up with all of this? Because now you're doing football portal and basketball portal. How do you keep up with all this and make it, like, manageable? I see people say it, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I wish I had that luxury of just tell me in August who's on the team. I'm going to go, this is too dizzying to follow. I'm just going to go whatever. And I think that's the majority of people. I mean, you have the diehards are following the portal, like, intensely. I think most people are like, this is kind of wild. I'm just going to let it be. It'll solve itself out and then kind of go from there.
It's not even, I guess it is. Now that you say that, I'm thinking through it. I don't know that it's even mental saturation in that way as much as I just feel like we're having Groundhog Day. It's the same damn thing over and over and over and over again. And no matter what column is written, it all kind of has the same general feel. And I go, oh my God, we've said this 7,000 times.
Yeah. I mean, nothing against,
like, again, we're telling the truth and we're going to keep doing it. It is what it is. It's almost kind of like the probation period a little bit, but there's only so many times every day that we go, hey, the conversation in the first segment is this is unsustainable. Well, okay. You know what I mean?
I'm not even saying that. I mean, what I'm saying is, like, nothing against Seth. I don't know what in the world you could write right now that would be new. I mean, I'm kind of like to the point of, all right, we'll do it already. Figure it out. Whatever you're going to do.
Seth's general premise, and again, I haven't read through the whole thing, is that kids get more in revenue sharing the longer they stay at one school.
Okay.
So say as a freshman, you get $50,000. If you're there as a sophomore, you get $75,000. If you're there as a junior, you get $100,000. And it goes by. The problem with that is just the participation. Like, there's so many issues.
You're putting limits on money without a collective bargaining agreement. Won't work. So many people in our field, I'm not referring to Seth in general, they don't understand. One thing I've learned, a lot of people in our field who cover college sports, they don't watch pro sports. And if they do, they don't keep up with the business of pro sports. Does it make sense? They're not interested. They're more and more we're skewing towards fans. You cover a school because you're a big fan of that school, not because you love journalism or you love to write or you love to broadcast. You cover a team because you love that team, which means that your energy all goes towards that. So you don't really keep up with Major League Baseball or the NFL or anything from a business standpoint. You don't understand an NBA salary structure. So you don't have no one's proposing anything at the college level that really makes sense.
It's because all just, nothing makes sense because the books don't make sense.
Of course.
And it's all TV related, which doesn't make sense.
But at the NBA, we'll use the NBA for example. They're not funding other sports. Mm. They're just playing professional basketball. So the WNBA thing, there's the people are all up in arms about, oh my God, that's all Caitlin Clark's going to make? It's like, yeah, the league makes no money. Why is this so difficult to absorb? But the answer is so many of the people in our field, no offense, it's going to sound like a political take. It's not. They're so liberal and utopian that they don't understand that. Well, why can't you give the...
Well, that's two different things. It's not really liberal. It's utopian. I mean...
That's pretty intertwined.
But you get political once you go there. It's not necessarily
I've never met a conservative as a utopian. Never in my life. Never once. I've never met one.
Anyway. Go ahead. Doesn't matter.
Why can't you just pay them what you pay the men? Well, because LeBron James brings a hell of a lot more money into it than anybody in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. There's reality.
True.
People pay thousands to see LeBron James or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Nikola Jokic. They don't yet. Maybe they will. Maybe Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese will be the difference. Maybe they will completely elevate that league into something that produces revenue that has not been produced yet. But as of this moment, that's what she makes because that's all it's worth. She's not going to make as much as Victor Wembanyama makes with the Spurs. And there's a reason for that, and it's not sexist.
Seth's goal with this, and I'll move on, because, it has holes, and it doesn't really matter. It's just one person's column yesterday to move the conversation around a little bit, is that he thinks that it would have a chance to keep the mid-level guy that is a depth guy. He still thinks the main marketable pieces are leaving and getting their big money and whatever else. He thinks it keeps the second team, whatever, from going somewhere, because why chance it when I'm just going to get this if I stay?
Oh.
That's his. It's literally a Band-Aid that he admits is not fixing the problem. It's just a Band-Aid.
I've not read it, but is he saying that if a football player makes $50,000, that a softball player has to make the same?
I did not read his section that way. Okay. Well, but maybe, I don't know. Hold on. Because let's see. A guy goes, isn't the challenge with that Title IX? A football team is paid X by the school, then women's sports will also need X. And based on what people are worth, aka revenue generated, it doesn't balance out. The same applies to most men's sports, but Title IX is a big challenge here. Actually, maybe it is. I don't know. He says, let's say you're a football player and your revenue sharing payment from a school is $50,000 annually. That's just an estimate, but a reasonable starting point.
Okay.
For a football team's full roster of 85 players, it would total $4.25 million. And since football scholarships usually take up one-third of an athletic department's scholarships, it's getting close to that $10 to $15 million the athletic departments are setting aside. So he's saying he believes athletic departments are setting aside 10 to 15 for that purpose. I do not believe that. I believe athletic departments are setting aside that amount for the revenue sports. And the numbers are way higher than Seth is giving it credit for per player. Because that's the deal here. That's where everything is. That was, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. That's the disconnect that's happening, is everybody thinks revenue sharing means every player on campus gets an equal amount. And that is not what the administrators and the schools are saying. They are saying that it is generated out as a limited minor amount, and then everything on top of that is still salary cap. That a sport or a school gets it, but then it can be spread like a salary cap. You can go do whatever you want to do inside that structure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not simply everybody gets the same check. That's not how the athletic directors and administrators and presidents are even approaching revenue sharing in the concept that they are in.
Is this
way
with the collectives inside the universities, or the collectives are still outside?
I mean, closely joined, however you want to phrase that. I mean, you know, because I said this, the Mississippi legislature is pushing rules through, and what will essentially, the way it was explained to me, is this next step would allow the universities and the collectives to contractually come together on deals. So, look, it's a bunch of red tape to get to where it would be if you were just in-house. So, for example, the Grove Collective, I'm just using Ole Miss, not exactly a Grove Collective comment. The Grove Collective, this is for you to understand, owns the rights to a player. Okay?
Yep.
They sell those rights to the athletic department to market the player, and in exchange, the athletic department gives the Grove Collective $1 million for that. Because we're looking for loopholes instead of just doing what it is.
Yeah.
But again, credit to the legislatures that have to find the loophole, because we're not nationally at a point to just do the other way.
Yeah.
So you go, hey, how can I manipulate the law and create a shit ton of paperwork, but we'll get to where I got to get? Okay, that's how you do it. And everybody looks at it and goes, oh, come on. But it's what's required right now, given the...
Required by the NCAA?
Yeah, it's just... it's not technically allowed to go any further than that. So you just do this for now and go, okay, sorry, paralegal, it's going to be a few documents that we got to get through here.
Okay.
And then we'll run up some legal hours and we'll pay for those. Flat circle.
But you still have a Title IX problem.
Well, you always have a Title IX problem.
I mean, I get mailbag questions. I've got one that I got to answer this morning about, do you think they're going to pull away? And I'm like, what does that even mean? I don't even know what it means. Do I think they're going to pull away and privatize? No, I don't. I mean, I don't. How do you do that? Where they're no longer associated with the university, they're just sort of contracted out as some sort of a club team, and then the rest of the sports on campus. What would the incentive be for the conferences to do that? What's the point? Why would the TV people go, okay, well, you know what, we'll continue to show softball and stuff? No, I mean, they're just like, what are you doing? I mean, it,
well, they show that because they just need the windows right, and the hours.
But some of it's, you know, let's be real. Some of the stuff they show is because they have to show it.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
I don't know. I've just gotten word, wake me up when it's over and tell me how it went.
Oh, look. You still got all these court cases running through over the next 18 months. Everybody in athletic and university administrations across the conference think it is the most critical court situation. Sure. And we don't, I mean, this is in a way a credit to us. We don't know what the hell we're talking about, so we can't do in depth on that because I'm not an attorney.
Right.
So, I mean, me going, hey, let me tell you, here's what's going to happen in the 8th precinct in California. I don't freaking know.
I know people who think it's going to be catastrophic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you just sit and wait because you have no other choice. Because, look, there's already movement on that. I mean, the NCAA came out last week and basically said, yeah, you'll just transfer. Like, you got to go by the windows. But as far as how many times you transferred and stuff, no, it's a rule from us now. You're good. Go ahead. Go do what you want. And that's all because of the injunctions in West Virginia and whatever. Is it Tennessee? Whatever state it is.
Whatever, yeah.
Pennsylvania, I don't know. Whatever. There's two states.
Kentucky, I think. Maybe it's Tennessee.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's why. They were losing in court. Judge had made a rule. The schools were already following the injunction definition. So the NCAA goes, oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. Because they can't win a court case right now. They went from winning every court case to winning no court cases.
Yeah.
Because they used to just roll in court.
The shifted in 2020 to the athlete.
Pro player.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Literally pro player. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, Seth, it's a new angle. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Doesn't sound realistic. I haven't read it.
We're using a lot of digital ink because we have to write something. Mm-hmm. And it's a topic people get very worked up about in one direction or another. So here's 600 words on said topic. I mean, this is not. It is April 17th, and he's a college football writer.
Yeah. Again, I'm not criticizing.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm explaining to people why that column even exists today.
Yeah.
Is that, hey, says we need something. Okay, cool. Sweet.
Yeah.
I got something. It's when Topmeyer for USA Today or Gannett or whatever goes, hey, we're going to rank the 12 media mills. And you go, why? Because it's February the 8th, and something's got to go in that slot tomorrow. So here's what it is. Mm. Woo.
Yeah. Fun.
We got a couple minutes. Any just final lingering thought on Grove Bowl? You obviously wrote about it. Spring, just anything you have not said already?
No, I thought it was brilliant. I think you'll see other schools start to do it now. There's no incentive to play a real game in April. I mean, you'll see the fan bases like Alabama comes to mind. Is hey, we're going to brag about packing a stadium. Cool, awesome, whatever.
Is anyone other than Phil Steele mad? Is he literally the only one?
He's the only one that I've seen worked up yelling at the clouds.
Grumpy old man.
Yeah. Yeah. You're starting to get a clue. So you build.
He wanted it for his magazine.
You build your whole magazine around spring games. Whoa.
That brings in the question.
Whoa. I got questions now.
Because that's what it was. He needed it.
Yeah. He was going to watch it. He was going to evaluate players based off of spring games.
And depth charts.
Yeah. Which kind of proves Lane's point. I mean, it does.
It does. 100%.
I mean, some of it's unavoidable. Josh Harris is leaving because it wasn't going to be readily made playing time for him. He needed to go somewhere where he could play if he had any lingering fantasy about playing in the National Football League.
If anything comes to fruition with any of this offensive line talk, it's because nobody wants to be the sixth or seventh dude.
Yeah. The one thing that I think you see from the portal, big picture wise, mm-hmm. is depth is just going to be a luxury for anybody.
Yeah,
I just don't know that many guys, and maybe this is to Seth's point, I just don't know that too many guys who want to play professionally are going to go, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to wait my turn. Not really culture anymore either. You don't like your spot on a 7-on-7 team, you go to a new 7-on-7 team. You don't like your spot on a travel baseball team, you go to a new travel baseball team. You don't like your spot at a soccer club, you go to a new soccer club. You just shift. You don't like your high school, you go to a new high school. I mean, there's guys that are going to multiple high schools that never leave their house.
Here's the thing on that. I'm on Phil Steele's Twitter account, okay? So here's what he said about Ole Miss. Just watched the Ole Miss spring game, got very little out of it. Dunk contest, tug of war, hot dog eating, obstacle course, no pads, 7-on-7 flag football game, 50-yard field. Not worth watching. Don't waste your time.
Okay.
Feels very angry.
Very angry.
Beating the table. Just watched the Boston College spring game. Great job, as always, by Mark Heslick and Mark something, who broke down each position. Lots of individual player notes from the spring practices. Just watched the Pitt spring game. On the call with lots of player notes from spring practice, good position breakdowns. Watch the Florida State game, dealing with lots of individual player notes from spring practice, position breakdowns. Good to see quarterback Lagway and some of the talented freshmen in front of a crowd. Watch the Penn State spring game. Plenty of player notes from spring and position breakdowns. Abdul Carter, blah, 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 blah.
I feel safely in saying that there's something Phil Steele hasn't done in a very long time. There you go. It's been a minute.
He was really excited that Georgia did some one-on-ones, some one versus ones in their spring game.
Me too is excited.
Because I bet Kirby was scheming that shit up. I bet he was exotic blitzes. This dude's supposed to be a football mind.
It's always...
Wait, hold on a minute. This guy's supposed to be a football mind. And he thought the position stuff in a spring game was relevant?
Well, it just shows you... I mean, it really pulls the cover back off some stuff. He needs those spring games because he's on his deadline now. But, like, how do you even do... You're putting your magazine together now? Dude, there might... The rosters... The Pitt roster will probably look different in May than it looked during their spring game.
Mm-hmm.
Pitt's going to have dudes get in the portal. They're going to bring guys out of the portal. Lane said the quiet part out loud over the course of the spring. The game's always been meaningless. It always has been. There have been people who've tried to make, Phil still comes to mind, who've tried to make meaning out of it. It never had meaning. It's a spring game. It's April. Ole Miss is going to play at least 12 games in the fall. Those are the games that matter. They'll keep score. Nobody ever looks back. At least nobody that I know with a margin of sanity and goes, you know, there were some signs of this back in the spring, in the spring game specifically. No, there weren't. It's an exhibition game that gets played because it's always been played. Coaches play it because, well, the other coaches are going to play it. I give Lane an absolute ton of credit for this because there will be someone in a world where they go 7-5 who goes, well, they just weren't physical in the spring and it really came to fruition. In September? If the spring is so freaking important, then why do you need all the preseason camp? It's a totally different era. Lane admitted it out loud to his credit.
And doesn't like the era.
But what's coming. But
has to deal with it.
But I mean, from a spring standpoint, you have the... Everybody's on campus now the whole summer. You're going to do 7-on-7 all summer. You're going to do... They can actually... The coaches can put their hands on the players, if you will, in the summer.
Yeah.
They're going to get... June and July are far more important than March and April. And then August, they're going to have a grueling first 2 weeks of camp. They always have. And then they'll start to wind it down a little bit. He'll get the guys' legs back under them, and they'll start the season. And by the end of the season, they're hardly practicing. And it's not because they don't want to practice. It's because he understands the science of protecting bodies. And this year, with the possibility of playing 16 games, you really have to think about that. You can't just grind guys into the ground. There won't be anything left in December, when you might have an on-campus game against Ohio State.
We should give Phil Steele and Chris Landry a podcast. Let them just talk.
Dude.
Break it down.
Wow.
Just call it color by numbers. They each get their thing.
This team has 7 yellow guys. 8 green guys. Look out. Ooh, 4 blue guys.
Look, and it's the challenge in the portal. Full circle, and we'll go to break. We'll come back. It's wild. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Is that, yes, if somebody said the lack of adversity, yes, a lot of players just go, by God, I'm not getting what I want, and I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones, though, when you get them, can you coach hard? Can you get on? Can they handle something? Or they go, nah, you got to sugarcoat it, or I'm out. I'm soft. And that's where we're moving. And that's the question. Because yeah.
And then, you know, what promises did you make to guys? Did you bring in a good player from a bad team, and he comes to a good team and he's not the good player that you thought he was?
Yeah.
That happens like
all the time.
All the time. Like when I remember being a kid in Louisiana, you know, the rule was you had to take 2 players off every team for the All-Star team. Now usually that was the coach's kids, but sometimes the best player on the worst team wasn't one of the best 15 players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It just was what it was.
But here we go. So, all right, some baseball, some football coming up. Prime Shrimp, primeshrimp.com. A lot of different flavors available for you. Everything from their newest option, that's the soy ginger. It's great with hibachi dishes, proteins, vegetables, rice. Throw it all together. Makes a great dinner. I know there's not a lot of time right now. You got a lot of stuff going on. You got all the youth sports happening. Summer right around the corner. So let Prime Shrimp help you out. We're going to help you out with that. You can use code RG, buy 5 pouches or more, get all your favorites, or a little bit of sample of all of it. 25% off. Again, they deliver directly to your door. Be within 10 minutes, freezer to plate with Prime Shrimp. So again, use code RG, buy 5 pouches or more, primeshrimp.com.
Are you retiring soon? How long should you wait to take Social Security? What accounts should you pull from first? Are you already retired? Should you consider Roth conversions? These are just some of the questions that can only be answered with the personalized retirement income plan. Andrew Sego with Sego Wealth Management specializes in helping folks just like you come up with their retirement game plan. Whether you meet at his office in Collierville or prefer Zoom from anywhere, schedule a free discovery meeting. See what they can do for you at rebelsretire.com. Brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great people, products, and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, Batesville, or the surrounding area, call Comer, 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern, 662-429-4429. The College Corner is in Oxford now. If you're coming up for a baseball series here in the last portion of the season, or you're starting to get ready for the upcoming football season, make the College Corner one of your stops. They have 2 locations in the Jackson area, 1 in Oxford, right off of Sisk Avenue. Plenty of parking available. Their staff's going to have you in and out, ready for the Grove in no time. More than 4,000 square feet of the best Rebel gear. It's collegecornerstore.com. Remind me to circle back to that. They've got a football giveaway that I need to tell you about. Okay. In a minute at the College Corner. So I'll get to that a little later in the show. We're also brought to you by Argent Wealth. Argent Wealth is based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Clients in more than 20 states. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much, much more. At Argent, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Argent will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. At Argent, they're going to take care of you individually. So go to myargentwealth.com. And we're brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. I called John just the other day. We're already starting to talk about a family vacation for next summer, not this one coming up. The key thing was I gave him a budget. Gave him some ideas, and then I just sat back. I'm waiting for him to give me some details and for him to tell me, here's what you can do with that budget. So I recommend that you do the same thing. Give him parameters. Give him a budget. Let him give you some options. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. It's 901-494-3387 or send him an email at jedwards@regencytravel.net.
So jump into baseball for a few minutes. Again, Ole Miss knocks off Mississippi State 2 out of 3 over the weekend. They back ended the series. They lost in a kind of a rout, shutout on Friday night, and then came back from a 4-run deficit in the 8th inning on Saturday. They scored a single run to keep it going in, I guess, the 11th, and then won it in the 12th with a 2-run single from Jackson Ross after Mississippi State had hit a home run in the top half. from the catcher Long, who then was celebrating a little bit, bat flipped a little bit, Mike thrown out at that point. And then on Sunday, Ole Miss just kind of routed on Mason Nichols, was excellent for 6 1/3. And then they've been on 14-2, scoring a lot of runs there in that 7-inning game to clinch it. Georgia and Mr. Charlie Condon up next for the Rebels. Condon, again, we'll talk about him later in the week. We'll have more on him, as he's the best player in the country. And Ole Miss has got to figure out how to approach it, which is don't let him beat you. Just walk his ass is the answer to that. We can get more detailed if you'd like to try to play games, but the answer is don't throw him things he can hit out of the ballpark.
He's an elite hitter.
He's incredible. I mean, he really is. Yeah, again, his batting average is higher than his BABIP right now, which means he hits a lot of home runs. He doesn't strike out.
If you told me he's hitting in the major leagues at some point next season, I completely buy it.
He's chasing Dave Magadan down or trying for the all-time batting average record in SEC action. So, yeah, that's Charlie Condon. But anyway, the Rebels coming off state series, a series they had to have any shot of a conversation moving forward. Now, look, we'll see. They go to Georgia. They haven't played well on the road. I think they're 4-8 on the road at this point this season. Yeah, they are 4-8. Georgia's been really good. I think Georgia's only lost one home game all year, if I have that right, at this point. It's one or two.
I can pull it up.
It's okay. I think it's one. So Saturday, they didn't play well. They won a baseball game. Give them credit for coming back. They didn't lay down, all those things. Mm-hmm. Sunday, they played well. So I guess I'm tempering expectations and saying they did what they had to do when their back was 100% against the wall to try to survive here. I think, given the metrics, and some metrics I'm going to go over in a second, 8-7 gets them in the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Now, don't do dumb stuff in the non-con, because it does suddenly matter, because you already lost six of them.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if you'll just don't be an idiot in the non-con, that's why I think that rainout was good last night. I'll get to why in a minute.
Well, their RPI is good. So 13 SEC wins means their RPI is going to probably stay roughly where it is right now, and that's going to get them in.
In general, 13-win teams get in about 40% of the time, but a 28 RPI is good.
Yeah,
and
they'd get in.
I think. LSU has gotten left out with a 27 RPI at 13 wins before. North Carolina got left out at 17 in the RPI a couple years ago.
Whew.
Yeah. There's been some weird stuff, because it's like all other committees, they are selective on what teams really the RPI matters and which teams the RPI didn't mean shit. So just point is, you put yourself in a position. But it's going to require that to even be put in a position. 12 wins is not getting you in the conversation.
No, and look, Texas.
You probably ought to win the Governor's Cup, too.
Texas A&M still on your schedule.
Which is good and bad.
Well, I mean, but from getting to 13,
yeah,
you can't count on any of those. They're the best team in the country.
They're good.
You have to at least factor in the possibility that you're going to lose a home series there. Because quite frankly, if you offered, hey, 1-2 against the Aggies right now, you'd have to take it, because 0-3 is on the table.
Yeah.
So that means, do the math on that. That means, so
8-4.
Now you're having to really get going.
So 20-16 overall, not good. Mike's, outside of last year when they were 25-29, Mike's worst regular season ever was 30-25. So they're definitely kind of on that pace a little right now. From that standpoint, they're again 5-10 in the SEC. 8-7 would get them to 13-17. They have a 28 RPI. They are being bolstered right now by the number 3 strength of schedule in the country. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of good teams left. You're going to be fine on a strength of schedule standpoint. And then here, I think this is what's caused, because I was kind of looking at it and go, God, they lost twice to Hawaii and they lost to High Point. And I've seen some Ole Miss teams with better resumes with worse RPIs. Like, what's causing this? And it's a couple different things. But the main goal of this is their non-con RPI is 76, which is not awful.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Top 100. You're an SEC team, so your non-con's automatically going to be less than a lot of teams that play those SEC teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the number I was wrong. Number 30 non-conference RPI, number 76 non-conference strength of schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it's cooking, is they've played a ton of top 25 games already, 12. They're 3-9, but they got three wins.
A lot of them on the road.
12 games. They've played one game in 26-50, so 13 top 50 games to date. And then here, sure, they've lost six of them. They're 13-6 against 100-200. That's not a great stat. That's not a great resume. Six losses outside the top 100 is not good. But this one, 1-0 against 200+. They've only played one game against 200+. Now you have another one coming with UNA, but it will only be two, barring this. And when I say that for context, here are the number of plus 200 games other SEC teams have played.
Okay.
Let's see. Bama 6, Vandy 5, Carolina 5, Georgia 7, Tennessee 8, Arkansas 5, Kentucky 5, A&M 5, Auburn 7. Let's see. LSU 6, State 8, and somebody 3, Vanderbilt, I think. I can't read my handwriting. That's a ton.
Yeah.
So you only played one.
Yeah.
That's going to help you in immeasurable ways that you haven't played the crap teams.
Agreed.
So as you're looking at this thing, Arkansas State's 182. You didn't need to play that game last night.
No, you benefited from rain.
Hawaii 132. You're cool. They're not falling below 200. The Warriors are actually pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
High Point 164. You need to pull for them the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They can't fall below 200 on you because that's three games.
Okay.
They played a weekend against them. Little Rock 136. You're good. Missouri State 125. You're good.
Yeah.
Memphis 161. Stay above 200. I think it's important here. Morehead State, 167. Don't go crazy. Because, again, they're going to play conference games where they start playing dog opponents.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sure they win those. I mean, you really, if you're going to scoreboard watch, don't scoreboard watch the SEC. Scoreboard watch the non-cons to make sure they don't do something really stupid and screw you up. Murray State, 59. That was actually a game you're going to get back, maybe, because it was postponed. That'll help.
Yeah.
Ole Miss needs to play Murray State, as weird as that sounds. Mm-hmm. You need to play that game and win it. Again, UNA is 272. Stop playing them. Stop playing them. Stop playing them. It killed a basketball season once.
It did. Well, the season was going to die anyway. But
it
yes.
just happened to be the knife wound that went straight into the catch.
Just, yeah.
State and Trustmark. State's RPI is down at 57. They're not helping you as much as you'd like for the Bulldogs to help you out right now.
No, but not hurting you either.
No, it's fine. Southern Miss 46 in Hattiesburg. That's a positive for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then in SEC play, LSU 48. God, the Tigers have just scuffled.
Mm-hmm.
A&M number one in the RPI. Auburn at 35. Alabama at 23. And Georgia at 10. So big opportunity on the road this weekend against the Bulldogs there at number 10.
So, I mean, Alabama comes in next weekend?
That's correct. 23, double-decker weekend. Alabama in town for three at that juncture. So, yeah, I just was looking at that and thought, hey, the 200 thing is kind of interesting because it just wasn't making sense. I could not figure out why it was where it was at that point. So, anyway. SEC records, just quickly here as I'm doing this, and we're on the discussion. Again, we're at the halfway point of the conference season. Mike has only had one season. It was last year that he didn't win at least 13. New era, but just pointing that out. And then...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Only 1 year at 13 as well. Everything else has been 14 or more. Arkansas winning the SEC West at 12-3 right now. The Aggies are really good. They're 11-4, one game back. Mississippi State 7-8. We'll see.
Yeah.
They got to get going. And they've got to get to 14.
Yeah.
They're not getting in at 13 with a 50 RPI.
Right.
So they got to get hot, I think. I think they have to get to 14. Alabama 6-9. I think they're on the way down a little bit.
I don't know.
They took two out of three Arkansas.
Their RPI is really good.
No, I think they're going to get in.
Yeah.
But I don't see that as this un. It's a series you have to win if you're getting to eight.
Oh, for sure.
You got to beat Alabama at home next week.
For sure.
Ole Miss 5-10. LSU's 3-12.
Yeah.
And then
LSU's in trouble.
They're cooked.
Trouble.
And then Auburn 2-13.
They're done.
It's Auburn will not be a couple hours west Auburn, toward Birmingham.
Auburn is that record is indicative of how hard the league is. I mean, you have an elite coach who could get if
is not hurting Butch Thompson's candidacy with other programs.
No, just it's the league's hard.
Yeah,
I mean it really is. It's a hard league to win. You go to Tuscaloosa, and you can get beat. I mean, you go to the league's LSU's 3-12. The league's hard.
Butch maximizes teams that have pulses, but there's nothing you can do with teams that don't have pulses.
No, and just.
Because I think he went 9-21 a couple years ago.
It's just hard.
And then what has thrown this entire thing into a blender is the Kentucky Wildcats are 14-1 in the SEC.
And fun to watch.
I love their identity. They know exactly who they are. They're not uber talented, but they don't suck by any stretch of the imagination.
If you're someone like me who's not just crazy about college baseball, Kentucky's sort of your team. They're fun.
Mangione has pulled it back just enough. You don't hate him.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of fun. He's not Vitello annoying right now.
No, not at all. No, they play with this real...
So they were in town, and I kind of went, I sort of like their program right now.
They play with a real spirit. Like, you see it.
Yeah.
But it's not over the top. It's not obnoxious. It's more like cheering for each other kind of thing.
And they play a style that gets on your nerves, but sure. You got to handle it.
Yeah.
Now, I said really fundamental teams, they could run into some problems, but
yeah.
If you give them an opening.
Well, shit, they've given themselves a runway. All they got to do is about go 5-10 the rest of the way, and they're hosting.
Oh, and hell, that's fine.
That's what I mean.
That's 19-11.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
5-10 gets them the 19 wins. They go 6-9, they get to 20 wins. They've created themselves. They got all sorts of runway.
Two-game lead in the overall standings as well, as we said. Tennessee, 10-5, they're fine. The balls are going to be hell in a regional and a super regional at home, and then we'll see when you get them in a bigger ballpark where they can't just bash their way through there inside Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Vanderbilt and South Carolina both tied at 8-7 at the midway mark. What?
Just reading this chat. You never know who's going to pop in. Thank you, Rebecca. That's very nice, whoever you are.
Oh. That's nice.
That's very nice.
Spreading joy and grace this
morning.
Grace
and prayers and peace. Yeah.
Georgia, 7-8, speaking of. Big weekend for the Bulldogs against Ole Miss. You know, look, both teams get to play here.
Yep.
Georgia's going to have this circle because they got to have it from the other side.
Yeah, no, they need to.
Again, their RPI is great, but in their minds, they're going, hey, could we get to 16 and host?
Mm-hmm.
Can we find a way to 16? And their path to 16 would be through Ole Miss, obviously.
Yeah, their path to 16, probably a sweep.
Yeah, we got to get some momentum and get going here. They would like to leave at 10-8. Florida, I don't know, 7-8. I was wrong. I don't know. I mean, their roster is not this bad. But what happens, and it's the negative to Kevin O'Sullivan, is that he runs hot 100% of the time. And he's not the touchy-feely dude that's going to pull your team back in once they're going down the cliff a little bit. You're all falling off together.
Again, man, the league's hard.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch a lot of league games, and I think a lot of people that are – this is not meant as an insult. A lot of people in the stream, they just watch Ole Miss games. If you watch, man, a lot of the other games, there's a lot of games that have come down to one inning, one half inning, an at-bat here, an at-bat there. It's really close. You can run into some bad luck, not execute with your bullpen a little bit, and suddenly a team that should be 9-6 is 6-9. That's easy to do.
And then Missouri's 5-10, but they're 2-10 outside of playing Florida.
Yeah. They do play hard. I'll give them that.
Sure. They're fine. They're actually kind of fine. They don't suck.
No, they don't suck.
Well, offensively, they suck. Yeah. They pitch it well.
They're okay. It's kind of Alabama. Alabama pitches it pretty well. They don't have a great lineup. They pitch it pretty well.
I mean, that's like, I know it was kind of smart, snarky, but I was curious at the same time. I had that mailbag question last week. Is Ole Miss better than Missouri? And I went, well, let me look at the stats. And offensively, no, because they're better than no one. But on the mound, yeah, definitely. They don't walk anybody.
Yeah. No, they're solid. They make you beat them. Most people can beat them because Missouri doesn't score many runs.
No. It was like 14th in everything. Yeah. Since it's already Wednesday, go ahead and knock this out. We'll look at the weekend of games. Let's see. Thursday. Or what do we have on Thursday? Any games? Yeah, two games. Texas A&M at Alabama is on Thursday.
Aggies get two.
Yeah, I like that. Aggies get two. Alabama coming off that tough two-game stretch. You get Arkansas, Texas A&M back-to-back weeks, but they get two from the Razorbacks. And Arkansas is susceptible. They just play really good baseball, and you have to beat them, but you can beat them.
Yeah, they don't.
They're not unbeatable by any stretch of offense.
They really pitch well.
Yeah.
They pitch themselves and stay
in. They don't give it to you.
They stay in every game.
And then if Florida's got a pulse left, they're in Nashville facing Vanderbilt this weekend. I think the Doors get two. I mean, I can't.
Yeah, I'll say Vanderbilt gets two.
I can't give Florida.
If you told me Vanderbilt swept them, I'm not surprised.
You think they're in the tank?
I think Vanderbilt's really good.
Yeah.
And Florida's kind of in the tank.
Okay. Ole Miss and Georgia. I just think Georgia gets two.
I do too.
I can't. You're going to show me more than one. You're going to show me more than a game and a half, I guess would be the way that you put it. Ole Miss, again, played really well on Sunday. They are seeming to. I think they have a bunch of Saturday pitchers. Colin Brister said that earlier on the network a few weeks ago, and he's exactly right. Like, they don't have an ace, but I think they do have three Saturday arms.
Mm-hmm.
So you just see if you can kind of piece that together. Their issue right now is that they don't have a reliable arm in the bullpen necessarily. It's what I was frustrated with Mike a little bit from just a game management standpoint. It's like he went to Morrell early in the weekend in a game they were not probably going to win at the moment. And you went, what are you doing? Like, because you're wasting your one arm that's kind of been whatever. Because, you know, like I said, Mallett's off speed has not been up to velocity. Connor Spencer was really good, and you just had to stretch the hell out of him on Saturday night. It's a bit of a task right now to figure out how to put that together. And then really good series in Lexington this week. The Tennessee Volunteers in town to face Kentucky. So Tennessee, Kentucky this weekend.
Oh,
yeah. I actually think Kentucky's going to give Kentucky its first loss. I mean, sorry, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
I got the balls for two. I know it's on the road, which is kind of dumb because Tennessee's a totally different team. But
at this point, even if you're Kentucky, you get one, you're fine.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I mean, you walk out of it 15-3. Nothing wrong with that.
And I get that Mangione is calmed. There will be some semblance of a fight over the course of the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Those two teams, yeah. At some point in the three games, somebody's going to run a little hot.
Tennessee's a little fiery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Mangione's not going to just let hit the Tennessee group do the stuff. So, just Auburn's at Mississippi State. Bulldogs better get them. I mean.
And probably will.
Yeah. Would soon.
Yeah.
That State's okay.
Yeah.
They're okay.
They're okay.
As far as I'll go.
They're better than Auburn right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Arkansas is at South Carolina. Opportunity for the Gamecocks.
Yeah. South Carolina needs to get a couple.
You're 8-7 at the break. Got Arkansas in town. And then
Arkansas's deal is that you can beat them. You have to execute like Alabama did. You have to execute all weekend because they're going to pitch their way into every game.
Mm-hmm. And then
the way that Smith's pitching, you're not getting the first one. So you got to back end it.
And that's
Smith's been terrific for them consistently.
And South Carolina has to get a little better than what they've been. They are the worst team in the conference in situational hitting. Runners in scoring position, runners on base. They do not do it well
at all.
That
is not how you beat Arkansas.
Yeah. They waste a ton of opportunities.
Yeah, that's not.
You're not going to get a ton. So
not how you do that.
And then a series that I have no freaking idea, LSU's at Missouri. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to give LSU's two, but I'm being stubborn. I admit it. I mean, I
won't
don't
be shocked
know.
At all if Missouri wins two there.
Yeah.
LSU's not playing well.
They're not.
If you watched them play and the uniform said something besides LSU, you'd be like, oh, that's just not a good team. You still look at the uniform and go, oh, it's LSU. Okay. But they're not very good. You don't get to 3-12 by accident.
People have asked me a lot, what are the similarities between these three national champions and what's happened? I don't know that there's a ton of similarities. I think everybody's got their own stuff. It's really hard.
It's really hard to win a championship. It's almost impossible to defend a championship.
And I do think there's something to, again, it's a middle ground, okay? It's not an excuse. Mm-hmm. There is something to being in freaking Omaha until July and not out doing portal and getting that done.
Sure.
Somebody's going to combust and go, you're making excuses. No, it's just, it's human nature. Just different.
You're in Omaha for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks in June. You're not really thinking about the portal. You're thinking about winning a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Your meeting time is not focused on portal guys. And if it is, it's not really, because you're not really thinking about it. You're really thinking about that game with Texas tomorrow night. That's what you're really thinking about. They're humans.
Mm-hmm.
You're around kids and parents and family, and everybody's not, hey, what did you think about that shortstop at Cal Poly? You're kind of thinking about, how do we get that shortstop?
Getting nobody on campus.
I mean, how do we get the kid from Texas out tomorrow night?
Yeah. Yeah, it just is what it is.
It's just human.
Yeah. And it's hit all three of them to some extent.
Yeah, sure.
Different ways, because the portal has been different.
Well, because the rest of the close league is out recruiting the portal. And the difference... The difference between winning a championship and finishing fourth, was Ole Miss considerably better than Auburn in 2022?
No. No.
No.
Auburn went to Oregon State and beat the Beavers 2 out of 3.
I mean, or name me a team in 2022 that lost a super regional. Was
Oregon State.
Was Ole Miss considerably better than them? Of course not. But they're out working the portal at that point.
Yeah. TCU.
I mean, I was thinking about SEC teams, yeah, right. You know, I mean, the answer is no. There's not a lot of difference.
Hell, Tennessee lost in a super regional that year.
So was Ole Miss considerably better than Tennessee in 2022? Yeah, of course not. So Tennessee was out working the portal.
Yeah.
You're in Omaha for half a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just.
And then after you win, you've got the hangover for.
Well, look, because the margins, back to that. Ole Miss last year at 25-29 was not a bad national college baseball team. They were a crappy SEC baseball team.
Yeah.
They went 8-1 against the Big Ten.
I know.
Not the same thing.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just it's LSU spent a lot of time last year, and then it ends.
And
all the attention to Skeens and all that stuff. You got stuff going on, and you look up, and you lost a month. And I'm sure that. I'm sure they were looking at Jay Johnson was working the portal and stuff, but your heart's not in it.
Yeah.
You're trying to win a championship.
Trying to maximize the actual point.
Well, it's what you've dreamed of. You don't get into it dreaming of, hey, we're going to win this portal battle to get the second baseman from Pacific.
Yeah.
No, you want to win a championship.
Pacific. That's good.
It's hard to win a championship.
Yeah.
Or in this case, hey, you know, but there's this outfielder at Air Force. We're really focused. No, you're thinking about, we play Texas A&M tomorrow in a national, what is essentially a national semifinal game.
Yeah.
You know, the coaches at the Final Four in basketball, the portal's going on. You want to tell me those guys are really thinking about the portal that day?
No, Hurley said he was avoiding it.
I mean, Nate Oates wasn't thinking about the portal when he was getting ready to play UConn. Yeah. He was trying to think, is there any way we could do this?
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, and they offer medicine. If your prescription is the same day each month, and take care of you. One trip to the pharmacy, one delivery. You have everything you need when you need it with G&M. So whether you're in Holly Springs with Tyson Drugs or G&M in Oxford, let them transfer your medications easily. One phone call, they take care of the rest. Again, that is 662-236-2222.
I said I would mention this, the College Corner. If you go to the College Corner store in Oxford and you leave a tip, the tip is going to go straight to the Grove Collective to benefit Ole Miss Athletics. It's also going to make you eligible to win a Grove Collective football signed by Lane Kiffin. The promotion ends on May the 15th, so you've got about a month to do that at the College Corner, the Oxford location. We're also brought to you by our friends at Service Specialist. Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency, connecting great job opportunities to candidates since 1967. If you're on the job hunt, whether you're seeking an entry-level position or you're a seasoned professional, they have opportunities across the board. It's always free for the candidate. If your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, Service Specialist can help you as well. payment of service solely contingent on if you decide to hire a candidate that they send. You've got nothing to lose, so give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call at 601-573-9242 or go to their website, servicespecialistltd.com. Oxford's new Greek restaurant on the square, Opa, is the perfect place to plan your fabulous festive party event, your company dinner. If you're even thinking ahead to a Christmas party, they've got that as well. Fabulous food, great craft libations. They can accommodate up to 200 guests at Opa. If for catering or booking information, contact Jeannie, 601-421-7147. Get the beautiful and healthy smile you deserve at Corinth Dental. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures that will result in a beautiful, long-lasting smile. From routine checkups to advanced treatment, including implants and Invisalign, Corinth Dental is here to help you achieve your smile goals. Schedule your appointment today. Take the first step toward a better version of yourself at corinthdental.com. Are you a displaced corporate executive wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur looking to diversify? Either way, Andy Ludicky can help. He is a diehard college football fan, franchise veteran, owns multiple franchises and businesses, uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy, put your life and your career in your own hands. It's 100% free, nothing to lose. MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net, or call him at 404-973-9901.
Just one quick thing back about the kind of the business of college athletics. I saw this was interesting. This is Fox Sports president Bob Thompson. And we already mentioned that this was dumb, and he's just, we finally have somebody in a admin capacity that's going to put literal words to it. This 70-team super league that everybody keeps asking about, which is really stupid.
Yeah.
In a number of ways. He says wonders, but he's not wondering. He knows the Big Ten and the SEC would even have any interest in that is being considered by whoever it is. Says this version was designed by folks on the outside trying to figure out how to get inside. Also, no one has given thought about how this gets paid for with the current medium-term media distribution environment either. It's a super league with a bunch of non-super teams, which is a problem. Said the right model from economic standpoint is probably one that pisses off a bunch of people. That brings in the politicians and the whole thing rolls right off a cliff and nothing happens. Economics of an 80-team league are not enough to properly compensate the 20 schools that actually drive the value. Anyway, not one thing will happen until we sort out where all the future economics will come from a current distribution configuration, because we can't support this. And then he's made a couple good points lately. Dennis Dodd pointing out realignment was or is all about consolidation. The pressure on the declining pay TV system, which still and probably will be in the future covering 80% of the economics for Tier 1 sports means distributors, can only support realignment in leagues that over-earn on strategic value to the general market sports fans still subscribe to pay TV, saying that there isn't room for a super league that isn't filled with super teams from top to bottom.
So, yeah.
Again, this was all done by the other teams going, hey, let us in. Hey, here's the deal. What about this? Give this a shot. And the other thing was going, I'm good. No thanks. All fine at that juncture. We're 100 days away from the Olympics, Mr. McCready. You interested at all?
Not really.
Not at all?
I mean,
was there a time?
Yeah, probably when I was a kid. And I mean, when it's on, there might be an event here and there that I'll be interested in, but no, not really.
Summer or winter, your favorite?
I think the winter ones are more fun to watch.
Do you?
Yeah. People flying down a mountain.
Okay. You like the bobsled and the slaloms and all that stuff?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more, yeah.
Downhill skiing.
Even the hockey.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll probably watch the basketball. There'll be a lot of international basketball is better than it's ever been. It'll be interesting to watch those kinds of players play.
NBC doing a little different deal here. The president of the company said the opening ceremony would be more like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade or New Year's Rockin' Eve than the similar solemn procession that has happened in the past. Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning are co-hosting alongside Mike Tirico for your actual reporter person. Alex Cooper from the Call Her Daddy podcast is doing live viewing parties on Peacock during the opening ceremonies. I didn't see that one coming today.
No.
Snoop Dogg is being involved in this in some way, it appears.
I mean, they're trying to make it pop culture.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, which is smart. Yeah, go for it.
No issues there. Track and field will become the first sport to put up prize money at the Olympics.
Oh.
The governing body said that any gold medals under its jurisdiction will receive $50,000.
Okay.
So a little bit of put in there. The torch was lit in Greece and is starting its move towards
its
Paris.
Path to Paris.
That is correct.
When are the Olympics? July, August?
100 days. So do some math. 3 months. June, July, August. I mean, May, June, July. So yeah, so July. Sometime late July.
Okay.
Something like that. I mean, I'm interested just because there's nothing else going on right then. You're like, yeah, sure. Fine.
We'll have practice starting. Media days.
Well, actually tackle to the ground then.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
I think it's debatable.
A little. Not much.
July 26th to Sunday, August 11th
are
the dates for the Olympics.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be pretty occupied most of that.
Is U.S. going to win basketball?
I don't know. Be close.
Saw Lillard got the last spot.
Oh, did he?
I think I saw that.
There's some good teams now. I mean, I don't know. Like Canada will be good.
1 hour ago, let's see. LeBron James headlines. Give me a roster. Give me a roster. Give me a roster. They announced something like this. Just give me a roster. Quit going paragraph form. Well, this guy's on the team, and this, just list.
Show
the
me the
players.
Roster. Yeah. You can't find one.
I'm gonna get it.
We're
in this aggregation. I'm not going. We're in this aggregation world where we can't just list the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Got to have a certain number of words.
Okay, NBC News helped me. Congratulations. Okay. Thank you, NBC News.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James.
He's good.
Steph Curry.
We're a little old so far.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, we're old so far.
Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Anthony Davis. Devin Booker.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, Ant's good.
Jason Tatum.
Okay.
Bam Adebayo. Tyrese Halliburton. Drew Holiday. And there's one spot, and I think Kawhi got it. I'm sorry, Lillard got it, I think. I had it a second ago.
I saw where someone said they should put Cooper Flagg in that last spot.
The women are contemplating adding Caitlin Clark.
Well, they should. If you want anybody to watch.
Yeah, Kawhi got the last spot. Sorry, not Damian. Okay. Not Lillard, Kawhi. So, those people plus Kawhi.
I wonder if Luka and Jokic are going to play for their country.
They would, right?
Sometimes. But sometimes they just, the wear and tear on your body.
Especially Jokic, he's not into playing a ton of basketball.
I know SGA is going to play for Canada.
Oh, they good?
Yeah.
Are they sneaky good?
They're pretty good. Well, there's five players.
Helps.
And when one of them is super elite.
You got a shot.
Yeah. Josh Giddey's going to play for the Australian team.
Okay. So you're up on where all the Thunder players are heading in.
Sure. Pray they don't get hurt kind of thing.
Late Warriors dynasty over? We done?
Yeah, it's over. That's it.
Last night, killed it.
For sure. Be the last time they all play together. Clay will leave.
Draymond will be back. He's still got 3 years left on the deal.
He's back because of his deal. Yeah. Steph's still there, but Steph's getting older. He's still an elite player. But yeah, they've been passed in the West. I mean, you saw it a lot.
So Celtics in the East, we don't know yet. Celtics will play somebody.
Mm-hmm. What we know now is the Lakers are the 7. They'll play Denver.
Yes.
And the winner of the New Orleans-Sacramento game will play Oklahoma City as the 8.
Lakers beat the Pelicans 110-104 or something like that last night.
Great game. And at the end, Zion Williamson got hurt.
Bad?
It looked to be a hamstring.
Which means he will not play in the next one.
It'd be hard. And he was having the best game of his career. He was phenomenal last night.
So the East play-in game is Heat somebody. Who's the Heat play? I saw this. Oh, Sixers. Heat Sixers. And Bulls Hawks are the two play-ins in the East.
Yes.
That is correct.
That's correct.
Okay. Celtics 1, Knicks 2. It's already set. Milwaukee 3-6, but apparently they're planning to play without Giannis for this 3-6. Can the Pacers get them? Can Indy win?
If Giannis doesn't play at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. They could lose. You're really dependent on Damian Lillard at that point.
Cleveland, Orlando in a 4-5.
That'll be a great series. That'd be a lot of fun. Orlando's this fun young team that kind of gets overshadowed by Oklahoma City a little bit, but they're doing the same thing.
And then, as you said, Oklahoma City waiting on New Orleans or somebody.
The Thunder wanted the Lakers to win last night.
They didn't want the Lakers.
I don't want to play the Lakers. The Thunder have a matchup issue with the Lakers. And
so it's Pels Kings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thunder were thrilled last night.
Oh, so the Kings aren't in yet, even though they won last night.
No, they have to now beat the Pelicans in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nuggets-Lakers, as you said, that starts Saturday in Denver. T-Wolves-Suns, 3-6 matchup.
Oh, it'd be a lot of fun.
And then Clippers-Mavericks should be great.
Fantastic. I hope they play 7 triple overtime games.
Clippers finished the regular season 1 game in front, so they will have home field. Home court is the 4 seed.
And Dallas right now is playing. Luka's playing the best basketball of his career, and this is the best Dallas team that he's played on. It might not be enough, but they're really, really good.
If somebody said one of those two teams won the title, you would go Clippers, right?
I'm thinking. Yeah, probably. The problem with the Clippers, man, is, I mean, and I love the guy, but you're really counting on Russell Westbrook to play well. You're really counting on it. As opposed to with Dallas, I mean, it's Kyrie and Luka. They could pull this off. No, I think I'd go Dallas if you told me one of them win the title.
Really?
And I don't think either one of them win the title.
Yeah, I get it.
But you saw last night, I mean, like.
But that 4-5 is a weird spot because you could kill each other. One of you gets out, and then you get this Thunder team. It's just still learning, and whatever is the one, and.
Yeah.
That's a huge break for the 4-5 to get the Thunder and not the Nuggets.
And by the time if you play the Thunder, by the time you play them, they're now an experienced playoff team. They've played playoff games.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, after watching the Thunder all year, they're not going to be intimidated by the moment. That's just not who they are. That's not the way they play. That's not their organizational thing. I mean, I'm not going to be the guy that makes a big deal out of winning the G League. But the fact that the Thunder organization won the G League with guys that are going to contribute to the team next season, you can't just completely ignore organizational synergy.
Yeah, sure.
They have lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole stacking days on days, that's their motto. They just never really get rattled. They got blown out a few times, and then they'd come back and play well. Other teams get blown out too. I mean, Denver lost at San Antonio in the last weekend of the season. The Thunder down the stretch beat the living hell out of everybody. I think they lose in the second round, but look,
you got to get them.
I don't dismiss them. You don't win 57 games by accident. I mean, they're good.
That's what it was, 57.
Yeah, they won 57 games. A year after winning 41. 2 years after winning 23.
Yeah.
Or 25. They improved 16 games in consecutive seasons.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, NESPARC. Service people across rural communities. 2 packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or their Blaze. That is their 1 gig option available to you. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESPARC. .com 662-238-3159. Phone service, portal controls, network security, wireless mesh extender, and much more. So to get the best internet in Lafayette County, that's 662-238-3159.
Southern Traditions Farm is a 68-acre, 32-stall, upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. 2 sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails, so much offered at Southern Traditions. Horseback riding offerings. From beginner lessons to advanced to being able to compete in nationally recognized competitions. It's also a great venue for corporate outings, reunions, those types of things. So get in touch with them on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm. I'll have a mailbag to you later today. It's brought to you by Art Hayes of Sotheby's International Realty. Are you thinking of making a move? Put the power of Sotheby's International Realty to work for you. As a licensed agent with Sotheby's and a supporter of all things Ole Miss, Art Hayes can help you buy or sell in your hometown or anywhere in the world at no charge to you, seriously. So call and ask Art how. 612-805-5929 or email him at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R dot Hayes, H-A-Y-S, at lakesmn.com.
You watch a bunch of other spring games, I assume, tomorrow.
I've got most of them taped.
You can break that down.
I'm really breaking down the third quarter of Vanderbilt's black and gold contest right now. It's going to be awesome. I learned a lot. Did you watch a lot of spring games?
I don't know, other than Alabama and Georgia, I could tell you who else played on Saturday. Do you know? I don't even think I know who else played.
Didn't Florida play?
Is that true?
I don't know. I thought they did. I think Arkansas played. Florida. I don't know.
Seeing a big story on ESPN this morning about how service academies, you know, because they do have, I mean, they have NFL pro days and they have players that go pro for sure. How they're being impacted by this new rule that they have to immediately serve their 2 years of military obligation prior to obtaining employment. It's a huge 2 years to lose
that
in
is,
this.
That is.
You're almost kind of forgotten little bit.
No doubt.
It's the closest the U.S. has in something like this to, I think it's South Korea, because they have a lot of really good golfers. Before they turn, they're allowed to pick when they do it in the age, but before they turn a certain age, they have to serve 2 years of military service, just period. Any male that's coming up through South Korea. So they always try to pick like when to take that 2 years off from golf when they're on the PGA Tour and rolling. And
it's a lot of time off.
It's a lot of time off.
Hard to get that rust off.
It's 40 tournaments to make a lot of money. Rory vehemently denying that he's going to accept the live offer that was reported by a British paper over the weekend.
Just take the money and shut up.
$850 million.
No one's going to fault you for taking $850 million. And the crazy fringe that does, you don't need them. You have $850 million to block them out. Does it really matter that everybody love you or that you can make $850 million?
I mean, it might, because he already has $300. Okay. I get it, but the calculus is different when you have, like...
Yeah, but now I can have more than $1 billion.
Yeah, sure.
And most...
I'm not arguing. I'm just people, saying he's one of the few people that does seem to really care about a legacy and being on this side of history, you will.
I get it.
Now, the problem is that I kind of blame the PGA Tour for a lot of this, but that's neither here nor there.
List of people that I want to love me. List of people that it really doesn't matter. Now, are these people going to love me if I take the money?
He might just decide he can't work for the Saudis.
Are these people going to still
love me?
They're
too egregious. They're too violent. Can't do it.
Stop. Take the money. Do your thing.
Yeah, you can also. That's true. You can also win a gold medal and become exempt if you're from South Korea, but it requires the gold.
Oh, some pressure there.
I thought about that. Most people would probably. I wonder if there's anybody in that Olympics golf tournament that would intentionally was winning, and it's like, say, Sung Jae-im was second, would intentionally blow a shot to make it where he didn't have to go be in the military for 2 years.
Maybe so.
How much would you have to like a guy to go to give up a gold medal in the Olympics so he wouldn't have to go serve his country?
Or what if he's like, hey, if you do this, we'll figure something out.
You will be compensated.
Yeah.
Well, here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be a really nice steak dinner. Like we're under the table. There's like an envelope.
Yeah, the Wagyu will not be the main part of that. No. That entree.
No.
If you
when you unroll your silverware there, just take note.
Scottie Scheffler did win the Masters. Best player wins tournament. Okay. Like it was not overly compelling.
I got finished second.
He did. Yes. Aberg, or however we're pronouncing his name these days.
I just call him Lude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're
your down. Boy Lude.
Lude.
You're on that level.
Yep, we're there.
Lude.
Guns up, baby. Texas Tech.
He is from Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. That is accurate.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. Speaking of golf, my fault, no podcast the last couple, or we had one Monday. I guess no live shows the last couple days, no podcast yesterday. Thanks to Men's Golf and my buddy Chris Malloy for letting me tag along with them. You'll get some content too. You on a story that, frankly, I wanted to do, but I think you will find it interesting about a sport that has a lot of challenges when it comes to putting rosters together that have done a hell of a job. They are currently number 5 in the country. They have the number 2 overall player in the country out of the transfer portal from NC State, Michael Lasasso. He at one point yesterday was 7-under through 7 holes on his round at Mossy Oak there in West Point. So content coming probably early next week. They go to SECs next week, so that's probably when I'll try to get that out. But nonetheless, appreciate that because it was frankly just whatever I wanted to do. So I do appreciate that level of access. That is not always the case by any stretch of the imagination.
You and Jeffrey taping tomorrow?
Yeah, I assume. Okay. Yeah. I have not told him we're not. So yeah, I assume we will do that with Jeffrey. Probably, I don't know, I'll find some topics. I'll find some big picture stuff to let Jeffrey opine on as the get him off the basketball talk, because I have a hunch he's going to have a full day of basketball on his other shows tomorrow. Sure. So if he would like some practice, we can do that. But if he'd like to talk about anything else, that's perfectly fine as well for that. So anyway, that's where that's sitting. Really good story, because Seth Wickersham has kind of become the Patriots insider these days after writing that book on the Patriots. He has an excellent story on ESPN.com this morning. Voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt, and all the different parallels of Belichick thinking he had the Falcons job the morning that they hired the other guy thinking he had the Falcons job, Raheem Morris, and then not having the Falcons job. So really good stuff there. Great reporting from...
be curious to see if Belichick can get back in on the next cycle.
Yeah. He's having a hard time, including the Falcons, with what I've read of it so far, of anyone believing that he's not going to just tinker and take over and can actually be part of a team.
It's fair.
Because that hasn't been the case.
No.
Old dogs, new tricks, whole deal. I give ESPN some credit here, because from just a reporting standpoint, 3 really heavy hitters. They went with Don Van Natta, Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler for the story, all sharing the byline. So worth your read there at ESPN. Take a gander at that. Some of the stuff I said in the podcast, a little bit on Campbell Smithwick coming up today on the site as far as some baseball stuff, and then we'll get some more to you as well as the week goes on. Again, Ole Miss, Georgia this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from Foley Field there in Athens, Georgia, which they've done a renovation, but that actually was the exact same original design as Swayze when it was built in 1989. They had literally the exact same stadium, and they've just done... It's kind of neat to look at, because you see how two programs have done a different renovation with off the same bone structure. But yes, Foley Field was the same as Swayze when it was built, whenever it was, and then Swayze was 1989. Because I remember Georgia coming over here a few years ago and looking at everything and figuring out how they wanted to do it. They put like some club level stuff on the very bottom.
Yeah,
it's with very, glass.
It's very distracting, actually.
It is, because you see all the people and the stuff, and you it's just all start field
watching
level.
You start watching the people,
yeah,
like socializing.
Yeah,
so right behind home plate.
Yeah, a little strange, but that's what they've done there at Georgia. So anyway, Jeffrey and I will be back with you tomorrow, rebelgrove.com. In the meantime, appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you then.